Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This is Elder Neil Phelan, Jr., preaching from regular Sunday morning services.
Let's get our Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter. There's a verse here that we quote a lot of times, and I want to read down through chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to start reading in verse 10. It begins by talking about the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and this chapter ends with what we should be. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. This passage of Scripture that I've written to you this morning is a great contrast. We see the end of all things when Jesus Christ is going to return and is going to melt everything, destroy the creation, and we have a new heavens and a new earth that we'll be dwelling in. But that's contrasted to the way that we should live while we are yet here. So as Christians, we are to live in the light that this is not our permanent dwelling, and that while we are here, we should live in a way to honor our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because we know this is not all there is to our existence. The scripture that I'm mainly interested in is to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're coming to the end of this year. We have a new year approaching. And this is usually a time that we have an opportunity to take a personal inventory of our own walk and our faith, and to make some God-honoring changes, some changes that honor our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and our personal walk. And so this morning I want to talk to you about some changes, about changes, making changes in our own lives, that we might take a personal assessment of our faith and our walk, and make some changes in our lives. Now, we all have need of changes, don't we? I know that there's areas in my own personal walk that I need to work on. It's always good to take a self-assessment of our own selves and look at ourselves square in the face and say, okay, you know, how is my walk with Jesus Christ? And I put out the little newsletter this week, and I made this little self-test up, and hopefully some of you took it. But I know there's some here this morning that may not get our newsletter, and I'm going to go through that a little bit this morning with you. I think as your pastor, it is my responsibility to bring these things to you as church members, as a collective body of people, things that we want to see in every person in our church. And so we're going to go through some of those this morning. But first, I want to mention the fact that there are some things that we cannot change, right? We live in a changing world, and, you know, it's hard sometimes to keep up with all of the changes that we see going on around us. Every time I get a new cell phone, I'm challenged. Things are changing, and I'm trying to figure out what all those buttons do. And I called Marilyn this morning by accident. I was in my study and she was in the kitchen and she said, hello, hello. And I realized I'd called her by accident. And so all these things are going on around us. You know, it's getting so complicated. You don't even know how to start your car anymore, or how to roll down the window, and the things that we cannot change, in this life. You know, our bodies are continually changing. You know, sometimes those things are not good. I remember I was a few years ago, we were driving on a trip with the kids and we're going on a vacation, and I got the road map out and I was trying to read it. And I said, who is printing this thing this day anyway? This print is so small. How does anybody read this? I didn't even think about the fact that I needed glasses. And so I put it up, and we went on another trip, and I got it out. I still can't read it. I finally realized that I needed to get some glasses. So I got some glasses, and it was amazing. I could read the roadmap. And then, you know, our hearing, you know, changes. Marilyn's got me some hearing aids now so I can hear better. I can interpret things she says perfectly now. But, you know, things change, and you need. So I remember I went to the hairdresser a few years ago, and she said, you need to be trimming the hair in your ears. I said, I didn't know I had any. So things start changing with our bodies that we realize we have no control over. And it reminds me of this kind of funny story. I don't like to tell jokes from the pulpit, but this is kind of about changing. This man heard his wife crying in the bathroom one morning. And so he goes in there and he says, sweetheart, what's wrong? She says, I'm just looking in the mirror. And she says, I'm fat and I've got wrinkles. Can you say one positive thing about me? He said, your eyesight's pretty near perfect. So we got these things going on around us that are changing all the time. And, you know, there's some things that we don't have any control over. The empty nest syndrome, some people have. Some people are glad the nest is empty. But, you know, your child, you grow up, you make changes in your marriage and in your relationship. They're always changing, and we've got to be able to make some changes along the way as life comes our way. Children, as they grow up, they need to make changes. They need to mature. They're going to go out. They're going to need to learn how to have a job, how to be responsible, how to hold a checkbook down, you know, to do the things that normal people do that grow up and they mature. And we've got to do that as we get older. And, of course, there are some things that happen to us, changes when we lose a loved one, things that we have no control over, that those changes, we've got to be able to change. We've got to be able to get past some things, and we've got to be able to make whatever adjustments that we need to make in our lives. So there are some things that change around us that we have no control over. But there are a lot of things that we do have control over in our lives, some changes that we can make in a very positive way that not only bring peace to our own souls, but is a blessing to the people around us. And so some of those changes I want to talk to you today as a family. You know, we're a family. And so the things I talk to you about, some people might say some of these sermons are duty sermons, and I say, well, they're not duty sermons. They're practical godliness that we need to consider as God's people. And so I'm going to go over some of those things today so that we can grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, growing in grace doesn't mean that we just learn more about grace. We need to know as much about grace as we can know about grace. But let me just say that nobody will ever make any change without God's grace, because any change that any of us make in our own personal lives, we need to be prayerful about it. We need to ask God what changes that we need to be making in our lives. Is there a sin in my life that I'm involved in that I need to change? Is there something in my Christian walk or my membership as a Church of Jesus Christ that I need to make? Lord, show me what it is. Help me to make that change. I know there's been some times in my own personal walk that there's been some changes that I really didn't think I could make. They just seem such a variance with my own personal walk that I thought, how in the world am I going to make this change? And then I'd be praying about it, and somehow the Lord would open this door or make something happen in my life, even to the people around me that allowed me to make that change. And sometimes I realize that there are constraints in our lives concerning some things that are very difficult for us to change. People around us, you know, can have an impact upon the changes that we might be trying to make. So we need God's grace to make changes. We also need to have knowledge, to grow in grace and in knowledge. So without knowledge, how do we know what kind of changes that we need to make? You know, knowledge is kind of like fertilizer on a plant. It gives us strength, nourishment, and enables us to bear fruit. And it gives us what we need to continue in our lives and to be the things that God wants us to be. So there are some things I'm going to mention to you this morning that were on that little thing I sent out. And I'm just going to kind of go down that list. If you had it and you got it in your email, I'm going to go down this list today and just bring this to your attention. I'm not looking at anybody in the church today. I don't have anybody on my mind. I'm not thinking about any particular person. These are just things that as I begin to make this out, I thought, well, what is a church member? What should I be as a member of the church? What are the things that I should be doing? So the first thing that I mentioned is to invite people to church. We need to all be mindful to invite other people to God's house. I would ask you this morning, who first invited you to church? You might say, well, I grew up. My parents came to this church all my life. Good. But you know, that's not the way it is for everybody. Some people have never been to church in their life. They don't know what it's like to be in a church. And I remember when I was invited to this church, I did come some as a child. But as I grew up, I moved away from this church and went in another direction. But there came a time that Marilyn and I were invited to a special meeting at this church. And I'll never forget that night. I know God was in it because it was that very night, the first night we came here, that I heard about salvation by grace. Now, maybe somebody had preached it before and it didn't click with me. I don't know. But it was here that I first heard about salvation by grace and that Christ was successful in what he came to do. And I went home that night and I told Marilyn, I believe what that preacher preached. And we acted upon it in just a few Sundays. I think people in this church about passed out. They're used to everybody coming for 5 or 6 years before they become a member of the church. But let me tell you, you don't have to do that. So we were invited here and it became something very important to us and hopefully a blessing to this church. You might say, well, I've been inviting some people a long time and they never do come. Keep inviting them. I love the story my Uncle Lauren told me about this man. And it was 100 years ago when people traveled by wagon. And this man came by his house, by the porch, every Sunday morning. And this man was getting out on his porch and he was getting ready to go to church. And for 10 years, he invited this man every Sunday morning to go to church. And the man turned him down every time. But after 10 years, he invited the man and the man said, I think I'll go today. And he got in the wagon and went to church with him and continued to be a member of that church. So we never know who might make a change in their life. It may have not been the right time to invite them the first time you did. But don't give up. Always invite somebody. Anytime you have an opportunity that God opens a door for a coworker, a family member, a friend, anybody that you know, bring them to God's house. You don't have to explain everything that we believe, the whole doctrine, what we do, what we don't do. Just do. I think it was Philip that just said, come and see. Just come and see. Just come be with us and let them see what we do here at our church. Well, the second thing is to introduce ourselves to our visitors. You know, what was your response when you first walked through the doors in the back of this church? Did people greet you? Did they tell you that they were glad to have you here at Harmony Church? Did you feel welcome as a visitor at our church? I think that's very important to us that when we have visitors, we want to make sure that they feel welcome at Harmony Church. I know we have a very welcoming church. We've got Brother Mike at the front door. But we got everybody else. When people come into this church, most every time people are flocking around anybody that shows up. But I would encourage each one of you, don't expect somebody else to do it. Be sure that you are the one that goes and introduces yourself to the person. Let them know who you are. Find out something about them. Where are you from? Come back and be with us. I know that for some people, this is really getting out of their comfort zone, because some people, they feel uncomfortable going up to somebody that they don't know and introducing themselves and getting to know that person. But, you know, that's what Christianity is all about, isn't it? It's getting out of our comfort zone. How comfortable did you feel when you walked down that aisle and you asked for a home in a church and to be baptized? I mean, that's pretty uncomfortable, especially when you feel like you don't deserve to be a member or baptized, or to say that you love Jesus and that you want to do something right. I mean, that's an uncomfortable thing for most people. And for that reason, there's probably a lot of people that don't do it. But being a Christian means that we have got to step out of our comfort zone. Imagine the comfort zone that Christ stepped out of when he went to the cross. He suffered for our sake, and for us to step out of our comfort zone is a very small thing compared to what Jesus Christ has done for us. Well, the other thing, the third thing, is about our giving in God's house. Now, I don't talk about giving a lot. Most of our ministers, some of them never talk about giving in God's house, but I came to the realization after preaching for some time that it was a subject that needed to be addressed by God's ministers. We need to talk about giving to God's house, or giving to the Lord. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 16:2 that upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So the first thing about giving is my giving consistent? Do I give on a consistent basis? Paul said the first day of the week, that would be Sunday. So we need to have something in our mind that we're going to consistently give to the Lord. We learned that way back in the Old Testament about giving. Remember, Abel offered unto God a more perfect sacrifice than Cain. We learned about making these at the altar that we make our offerings. And we've gone through the Levitical priesthood in the Old Testament and how that they brought of their things to the priest and they burned those things upon the altar. And I made the comparison to what Paul writes in the book of 1 Corinthians about giving. So we need to have in our mind that we have this thing we're going to give at a certain time every week or every month. Now, we all do that anyway. Even Paul himself makes that comparison in the book of 1 Corinthians. Do not others have this power over you? So we know that if you're paying an internet bill, or you're paying for your dish satellite, or you're paying for your car payment, or your house payment, you're doing it on a consistent basis, aren't you? You know when that payment is coming up, and you know how much it's going to be. If we do all of that, if other people have that power over us, shouldn't we submit ourselves to the authority of God and have a time every month that we are going to give something to the Lord Himself, who gives us everything? Not only should our giving be consistent, but we have to ask ourselves, is my giving appropriate? Am I giving what I should be giving to the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, again, in the Old Testament, we've studied in several places that around 10% is what they gave then. And the Apostle Paul, when he writes in the book of 1 Corinthians, he says, doth not the law teach us this also? He goes back to that very giving in the Old Testament and shows us that we need to be thinking about an amount. Some people say, well, the Lord loves a cheerful giver, and it doesn't matter how much I give as long as it's cheerfully, then that's okay. Well, I believe that we should be cheerful in whatever we give. But I don't think the Lord has left us as ignorant people with no knowledge or no measuring stick whatsoever as to what our obligation would be to the Lord and to His house. And by the way, it's the same for every person. In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle writes in chapter 9, verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according as he purpose in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. The fifth thing that I mentioned was our attendance in God's house. I'm always preaching on that. I know you may get tired of me preaching on being faithful attender to God's house, but I want to tell you, Satan has more ways to keep people from church in the day in which we live than in any other time. When my grandmother was a member of this church and the people before her, the day that the church opened her doors was the best day of the week, because they didn't have all of the entertainment that we have today all around us. We have to be wise as God's children that Satan has entertainments, all kinds of things to keep us from his house, and that's what it's out there for. And if we are following after it, then we are doing what he wants us to do. We have to make a concerted effort to be in God's house every Sunday. So we need to be prayerful about that. I know in some places they'll give you a sticker or a pin when someone has achieved a certain level of faithfulness in God's house. If you go 100 Sundays, they'll give you the 100 Sunday pin, and etc. But you know, we don't give any pins out here. We let that be between the person and the Lord. Jesus passes out invisible pins around here, and the pins that we wear are pins of our love for him and our faithfulness to what he has done for us upon the cross. The next thing I would ask you about is, I mentioned in the test, was, am I on time for singing? I always talk about that. I know some of you may not like me to talk about that, but I'm always going to, as long as I'm your pastor, I'm always going to remind you that the song service is part of the worship service. It may be the best part. You may not get anything out of my sermon, but if you'll come to the singing, you'll get a blessing from it. It's a time when we collectively lift our voices together and we give praise and worship to God. It is very, very important. It is not the gathering time. It is not the time when everybody else gets here and they greet the visitors for you. It's a time when we all come as God's people. We're counting on one another to be here. We're looking forward to getting together and lifting up our voices and praising God. And it's a very important part of our worship service. In Psalms 100, verse 2, it says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." Singing is the way that we come before the presence of God. There is no greater prelude for the sermon than a good song service. There's nothing that will encourage a man that's going to stand in this pulpit more than for everybody to be here on time, lift up their voices, sing like they mean it, and already receive the blessings of the Holy Spirit in God's house, and then he feels like walking up here and preaching. I can tell you some of the most difficult times for me to preach. It's when I come to God's house and the pews are very, very empty and there's no singing. It seems like everything is dead and I'm thinking, I've got to get up here and I've got to get people alive and I've got to preach. And it's just very, very difficult to do. I just want to tell you, as a pastor, it's very difficult to preach when the song service is dry and it's dull. Now I recognize that sometimes the song service may be wonderful and I'm the person that has the problem. You know, you can come to a church and sometimes the sermon seems like you get nothing out of it. And somebody else will come along and say, "Man, I got a blessing out of that sermon." We realize the problem was not the sermon, it was us. And sometimes the song service is the same way. We come and we didn't get anything out of the song service. Maybe we didn't get anything and everybody else is over there rejoicing. And the problem is the fact that we didn't have any prayer before we came to church. We are to prepare ourselves before we come to the house of God by prayer. The preacher is supposed to be praying. He's praying for a message. He's praying to preach the message that whoever's going to be there needs to stand in need of. And the congregation, before they get to God's house, need to be praying for the message, for themselves, for their ability to hear the message. We need to make preparation before we come to the house of God. You know, God is not obligated to be here. I always ask him, please be with us in this service. Bless us with your presence. Because I know if God is here with his presence, it'll be a good day. Maybe one thing will be said that somebody out there needed that very week. So the song service is a very, very important. You know, some of the songs that we sing are songs of praise. And then some of the songs we sing are songs of experience. Isn't it a wonderful thing when you're singing a song and you have the same experience that the person who wrote the song had? "Jesus, thou art the sinner's friend. As such, I look to thee." When I first sang that song, I thought, hallelujah, there's a song about sinners. You know, I've been in a lot of churches before and never sang a song like that. But when we sang that song here for the first time, I could identify with the person that wrote that song. And, you know, there's some songs that are full of doctrine. Who flung the stars out into space? Or the song that we sing about God's everlasting covenant? Long ere the sun began his days, or moon shot forth her silver rays, salvation scheme was fixed, 'twas done, and covenant by the three in one. The first time that I ever heard about the everlasting covenant was in that song. And I began to think about it, dwell upon it, then I began to study about it, and it was a real blessing to me in my personal life, and I got it from the song service. You know, the song service is so, so very important. Many times that's where God will touch your heart. The next thing I ask you about is about your prayer life. Do you pray every day? I mean, that shouldn't be a question that we would ask any of God's people. You'd think that everybody would be praying every day, but you know, sometimes people forget that they are supposed to pray. And I realize that praying can be a daunting task. You know, we're going to pray, and sometimes we feel like, you know, I'm just lifting up dirty hands to God, and why would He even listen to me anyway? But the Lord has asked us to pray. My house shall be called the house of prayer, Jesus said. And we as His people should be praying every single day. Not just for our own selves, not just for our own family, not just for our own job, not just for me, but for everybody else. You know, in our prayer, sometimes we need to remember to thank Jesus. Jesus, thank you for dying for me upon the cross. Jesus, thank you for interceding for me in prayer. Jesus, thank you should come from our lips on a daily basis. How many times are we remiss in thanking God for the greatest gift that has ever been given, who is Jesus Christ? Never forget to thank Him every day for what He has done for our soul and for our personal lives. I keep a little list on my desk for the prayer requests that people make at this church, because I know I'm prone to forget. And sometimes praying is kind of like an old car we had. You had to spray a little ether into it to get it going. You know, if you got a little list there by your desk, you can kind of get yourself going. You can remember the things that you need to remember. And it helps us to get moving in our prayer life and to remember those that are in need. So we need to be prayerful people. Pray for the church. Pray for one another. Pray for your pastors. Pray for the things that we need. I know that we think about some denominations that have what they call rosary beads. And so those beads stand for something, and they go through the rosary, and it reminds them, each one means something. So they know what they're going to pray for. They've got that thing. It reminds them to pray. They keep it on them. It reminds them to pray, and it tells them what to pray for. But, you know, our rosary beads are kind of invisible. We don't have, you know, it doesn't tell us what we should pray for. Everybody's prayer should come from their own personal heart. I like what one person said about ritualism. They said, ritualism makes no demand upon the conscience. So if you're going through a ritual, you didn't have to think of it yourself. You're just going through the ritual. But if it comes from your own personal heart, that makes a demand upon your conscience and mine. And we have to think in our own hearts what it is that we should be praying for and who we should be praying for. The next thing I've got on my list is ministering to other people. You know, that's so important as a Christian, as a member of a church, is that we minister to other people. How important it is for us when we are in need. We need people to be praying for us. We need somebody to give us a phone call at a time when we're down and out. That we are careful to minister to other people. I think that's a part of Christianity where we begin to look beyond our own selves to the needs of other people. You know, as Christians, we can turn inward. And it's all about me. It's about my doctor appointment. It's about what I have to have done. It's about what's going on in my family, in my life, and what I need. But when we become servants of Jesus Christ, we become servants to one another, to other people. And we have empathy for the pain of other people. And we as God's people should always have empathy for others. Whatever they stand in need of, whatever it is that we can encourage somebody and help them, and that we might minister to them. I'm always glad to hear about somebody in our church that has ministered to somebody else, and that is a sign of Christian growth and spiritual maturity. It's when we begin to minister to other people, and there's a lot of people that we can minister to. You know, it might be somebody in your family. It might be a child in your family that needs help. Maybe somebody that the parents aren't what they should be. Or it could be somebody that you work with, that you know, that needs something, that their child is in need. They need food. I mean, we're living in a world today that where our country gives away so much, but yet we have so many hungry people and hurting people in our country today because of drugs and alcohol and all the problems we see around us. Somebody was telling me this week about this little child, and it grew up in this home, didn't have any food, went to bed cold every night. Parents used them to put their cigarettes out on their skin, treated them, abused them. Those things are out in the world today, my friends. And there's a lot of people that we can minister to if we'll just look around us in our communities and around us. And you don't have to worry about maybe how they might use how we help them. I like what one person was talking about. They were talking about how this church helped people. And they said, well, you know, we don't really know what this family is going to really do with what you give them. And I love what the church member said. They said, that's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to help somebody. How they use it, that's their responsibility. So sometimes we find ourselves not doing things that we could be doing because we're worrying if they really deserve it or if they're going to use it like we think they ought to use it. And then we can find plenty of excuses not to minister to anybody. But we should be finding excuses to minister to those in need. The next thing is about reading our Bibles daily. You know, every one of us should have a devotional time every morning. Every morning or every evening. I don't know what your work schedule is, but we need to cut out some part of our day that belongs to you personally and God. Just the two of you. If you feel like you're married and you're together, Marilyn and I sometimes we wake up and she's drinking her coffee, reading her Bible, and I'm over here in another room reading mine because I'm not going to interrupt her. Because I know she needs some personal time with the Lord herself without me around asking her to do something for me or whatever. You know, we all need some time to be with the Lord. And let me just make a little statement about devotionals. There's a lot of good devotionals out there, and there's a lot of, you know, some that I would question. But I want to tell you, don't replace your Bible reading with a devotional. You can read the devotional on the side if you want to, and some of them are very good. And some of them will open up your eyes to some truth. I've got two devotional books out, by the way. And I'm telling you this, I've written them. And, I it's got some good stuff in it. But I would never ask anybody to replace reading the Word of God with a devotional. God speaks to us by the Holy Spirit through His written Word. And it's very important for us not to just read a devotional, but to go through God's Word and to see the relevance that it has in our lives. And you will be surprised at how God will speak to you through His Word. As a matter of fact, that's the way that God speaks to any of us. There's no more revelation. God's not speaking to people in dreams. He's not speaking to people when they're walking down the road and talking in this audibly speaking to us. We have a more sure word of prophecy, Peter said, and it is the Word of God. And that's the way that God speaks to us. We need to be careful to listen. Well, the next thing is, do I share my belief with other people? That's important for us. If somebody asks of the hope of your calling, what you believe in as a Christian, you may not have come to a solid foundation yet of what you really do believe. Or you may have, but you may say, well, you know, I'm going to put that on the back burner one day and I'll act upon it sometime in my life. We need to all be honest about what we believe as Christians, what the Word of God has to say. And then this is what I believe. And this is what I'm going to share with other people, and I'm going to give them a scripture for it. If you believe something about Jesus Christ, be sure that you've got a scripture that you can give them for what you believe. I know sometimes it's hard for us on the spur of the moment to maybe give an answer, but we can certainly pray about it and come back and either give it to them later, or we'll be ready the next time somebody asks us a question of what we believe and why we believe it. And so that's one of the reasons I wrote the book I wrote, is to give you some ammunition And you've got some information that if you people ask you what you believe, then you've got some stuff right there. If you read it and go over it, you know what it is that we believe. Next thing that I've got is participating in meals and other fellowships at the church. Sometimes we see that as just this little side issue over here on the church. It's not important. It really doesn't matter if I participate in those things as long as I come on Sunday morning or from time to time on Sunday morning. The rest of that is just kind of the icing on the cake. I don't really have to eat it. But I want to tell you, my friends, that's very important for the health of God's house and for His church. In Acts 2:42, we find Luke writing, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers." I want you to notice that breaking of bread or the meals or the Lord's table, both of those I believe are thought in that, but in fellowship, they're listed right alongside of the doctrine. We can have the doctrine down and know everything that we should believe. But yet, without Christian fellowship, we're kind of like this continent over here by itself. We don't have a relationship with anybody in the church. We don't know how to bear somebody else's burdens because we don't know them well enough to bear the burden. And the same goes the other way. You know, if we're going to, people are going to bear our burdens, then they've got to know us. I've known of some people. Over the years since I've been pastor, I got their feelings hurt a little bit on something that they participated or that they maybe a shower or something that happened in their family's life. And there wasn't enough, very many people that had any part in that. But the reason was because they just weren't known very well among our congregation because they weren't actively participating in the fellowship and meals and being around God's people like they should have been. And they didn't connect with the people that like they should have connected with. And if we're going to connect with people, you got to be around them. You know, there's no better way to connect with people than over a meal. If you want to get to know a family or another couple, a lot of times we'll say, "Come over and we're going to cook some hamburgers and hot dogs and we'll get to know you." And you kind of get to know them. Well, I believe that's the reason that this word fellowship is found in the Bible, is because God wants us to have fellowship with one another and to get to know and love one another in God's house. Of course, the next one is very similar to that, is I attend special meetings. Special meetings is our annual meetings. Obviously, we don't have a lot of stuff that we do at our church that other people do. I wish we did more, to tell you the truth. But when we have a special meeting, that is special. We've invited somebody to come a long way to preach for us. They packed their bags, left their families, and whatever things they enjoy in their own house, and they have come to Harmony Church to edify us and to be with us. And how important it is for every member of the church to be there, welcome that person, let them know you're looking forward to their sermon, and see how that God can use that person. Some of the greatest blessings that I've enjoyed here have been through special meetings that we've had at our church. As a matter of fact, it was a special meeting that Marilyn and I first came to when we first came to this church. The next thing I will mention is, do we apply messages that we hear preached to ourselves, or do we apply them to somebody else? You know, a lot of times we'll hear a message and we'll walk out of there and say, "Well, I wish so-and-so would have heard that message." You know, we're good at applying all these messages to everybody else. But how is it when we need to apply this message to me? I think we, and by the way, as a preacher, I told Marilyn, I said, when I preach on these subjects like I'm preaching on today, I need to go down that list myself and see, do I need to make any changes? And I've got a few dots I need to put on some letters and some T's I need to cross myself. So I preach to myself when I'm preaching to you. How else would I come up with all this stuff anyway if I wasn't thinking about it for myself? But we need to take messages and make that application to ourselves. And I want you to really think about that. Because you might be sitting out there right now, and you might be saying, "That's true. I've seen people say that." But there might be something today that you're hearing right now, and you're not applying it to yourself. You know, we need to really look into that and say, okay, is this something, a change that I need to make in my own personal lives? And that's the next thing, is am I willing to make Christ-honoring changes? Some people will say, "Well, you know, I'm kind of where I want to be right now. I'm so many years old, and there's really no changes left for me." My friends, as long as you are on planet Earth, you got changes to make, and I do too. There are no Christians that have gotten to a plateau in their life that they have become the epitome of Jesus Christ. You know, there's always some changes that every one of us need to be looking at and making in our own personal lives, because nobody is as perfect as Jesus Christ. And until we get to that place, we know there's room for change in our own lives, so we need to be willing to make changes. The next thing I put down is, do I forgive other people? You know, that's very, very important as Christians. Within the house of God, we have personality conflicts. We need to be willing to forgive one another when we have differences of opinions. In our family, we got family members that we need to be willing to forgive. We got friends that we need to be willing to forgive. And I realized several years ago that there were some people in my life, and I just closed the door. I thought, you know what? I'm done with that person. Sometimes we do that in our lives. We just close the door on people and say, that is the end of that. But you know, Jesus Christ wasn't a door closer. He was a door opener. Imagine if He had closed the door on you and I in our personal lives and some of the stuff we've done in our lives, we'd have had the door slammed in our face a long time ago. I thank God that Jesus Christ still opens doors, and that He let me in, and that He forgave me, and that I have a relationship with Him now because He is a forgiving Savior. And that is what we are to emulate in our own personal lives. The next thing that I put down is, we need to encourage other people. Everybody stands in need of encouragement. Whoever you are here today, you need encouragement, don't you? You got something you're going through. You have a trial. There's something in your life that you need somebody to encourage you. Just a good word, just a kind word, means a lot to every one of us. Sometimes we're fault finders. We're looking at the faults in other people rather than looking at the good in them. Every person that's born of God is full of His grace. There are good attributes in every one of God's children, and those are the things that we should be noticing in the house of God. We should be seeing that good thing in each person and being thankful for that which God has given them. And maybe it might be something that I need to emulate in my life. You know, I've learned so much from being around God's people and had so many examples to me of things that I realize that I need to emulate. You know, we look at Christ as the perfect example, but we look at Christ's people and see these other examples of things that we can emulate that they're doing. Well, I've already mentioned the next one, and that is to give scriptures for what we believe. You know, we need to have, you know, a verse that we can give to defend our faith. We don't need to be saying, well, you know, it's somewhere over there in the Bible. I hear that all the time. I'm talking to people about things, and they say, well, you know, it's over there in the Bible. And I had one guy tell me something. He was reading my book, and he said, you know, well, that's not in the Bible. And I said, well, yeah, it is right over there. And he said, oh, he didn't know it was in there. And then he talked about the age of accountability. And I said, you know, that's not in the Bible. He said, it's not? I said, no. We need to be able to defend the things that we believe in as God's people. Next thing is to practice what we believe. So what do you believe? Are you practicing what you believe? Are the things that I talked about this morning things you believe? But are we practicing the things that we believe? You know, when we don't practice what we say, there's a term for that called a hypocrite. So we don't want to be saying one thing and then doing something else. We want to practice the things that we believe in as God's children. The next to the last is, am I an attentive listener? You know, we come to God's house and it is preaching, but it is also teaching. And it is very important for us to be attentive listeners to the things that are spoken from the pulpit. Sometimes we come to God's house, I recognize that if we didn't get a good night's sleep the night before, we might struggle. There are times that, you know, it is hard to pay attention. I've been there. I've been where it's been hard for me to stay awake. You know, I've been sitting over here and there's been visiting preachers here and I didn't sleep well the night before and I had trouble staying awake. If you're going through a trial and you're not sleeping well, it's hard to stay awake. Come to God's house anyway. I encourage you. I know you go through trials. I'm not sitting up here looking at people and whatever people do. I'm not doing that because I know every one of you have gone through some stuff and sometimes it's hard for you. And I know that. So I'm not going to be critical of anybody that doesn't stay awake all the time. But let me just say this. Don't come to church and say, well, I'm going to take a nap while I'm there. You know, we shouldn't come to church just expecting to sleep. We need to try. You can't learn anything if you're not awake. We've got to try to connect with the Holy Spirit when we're in God's house and learn whatever we can from His Word. Well, the final one is to know and encourage the young people of our church. That's very important. Don't let them walk in those doors and walk by you while you're talking to somebody else about whatever you're talking about, the weather, or your health, or doctor visits, or something else. You need to pay attention to them. That's the future of the church. They need to feel welcome. We need to know their name. We need to say hallelujah that they're coming to this church and that they are a part of our assembly. Always make the young people feel welcome. If you had a son or a daughter here that had started to attend this church, how would you want the people in this church to treat your son or your daughter? That is the way that we should be treating every young person that walks through the doors of this church. Don't turn yourself in to your own self, thinking about your own self and what you want people to hear from you. Look at other people around you. Listen to what they have to say. Encourage the young people as they come to God's house. Well, those are just some of the things that I wanted to bring before you this morning as your pastor. For every one of you to consider in your own personal life, changes. Changes. Whether it's a sin we're dealing with that we need to say goodbye to, our tongue, our temper, our attitudes, the way we speak to our husband, the way we speak to our wives, our attitude at our workplace, all of those things are a part of some changes that all of us need to make. And the only way we can do it, knowing that changes are so difficult for us, unless they're things we don't have anything to do with, is through God's grace. I pray the Lord will bless each one of us in the year 2019 to make whatever changes that we stand in need of, that He sees in us, that we will be willing and faithful to make those changes.
Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This has been Elder Neil Phelan, Jr., preaching from regular Sunday morning services.